You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from Meadowbrook Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming, with Pastor Keith Miller.
Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that your flesh is able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again. It was good to be able to take some time off while in Florida. About 3 days into it, got sick. And it sounds like, based off of a lot of the folks that were here in the first service, a lot of people seem like they were getting over it. But I'm on cough medicine, steroids, and antibiotics. So if I say anything that gets me in trouble, I'm not liable. I'm joking. But I don't know, it could happen. Yeah, no, it was a good break, and so I'll talk more about that in a second. But yeah, it was good. It was good to have Paul Mitten preach a couple weeks ago. It was good to have John preach this past Sunday. It was good to be away, and it was good to just pause, and so which I needed to do. So before we go any further, let's pray, and let's ask God to do the thing that he needs to do in our lives. He knows what he needs to do. You may know, but let's ask him to just take the authority of his word and the power of his spirit to do what needs to be done in our lives in these moments as we sit under the preaching of his word. So whatever your posture of prayer is, just pray, and in the quietness of your own heart, pray with the person next to you, and then I'll wrap up our time together. God, thank you so much for this day. We ask that you would give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. God, there are things that need to happen in our lives. You know what they are. We ask that you would use the authority of your word. I need to hear these words just as much as anyone in this room. You would use the authority of your word and the power of your spirit to do the thing that needs to be done in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry for coughing in your ears. I was able to get through the service, most of the service, without coughing. So we'll see how I do in this service. So hopefully my voice will not give out. I mentioned a little bit of this in my e-letter that went out this week. But I was thinking about the need for rest, especially the need for rest in light of faith, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. But a few weeks ago, I preached on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And when I came home, I realized that I had spent nearly 20 minutes in my introduction talking about shoes. That's when you know you need a break. while away, I just been thinking through just the importance of rest. It's interesting to me that you have 10 commandments, right? The first 4 commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last 6 commandments deal with our relationships with one another. You ever think about that? Those are the 10 commandments. The 4th commandment, the commandment that's sandwiched between the first 3 and the last 6, is the commandment to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Think about that. It wasn't like God just threw them, took the commandments, threw them in a box, and just threw them on some tablets, in whatever order. They're in a particular order for a reason. And the command to take a Sabbath rest is sandwiched between our relationship with God and our relationships with one another, with our neighbors. And if we don't rest in the kind of way that we need it, where we just step back and we listen to God and we pause from the tyranny of the urgent and the noise of our lives, it will affect our relationship with God and it will affect our relationships with one another. You ever think about that? And so I'm confessing to you, I'm not good at taking a rest. I'm not good at taking a break. Last year, I think I took one vacation week. And I love what I do, but I need a rest. And I felt convicted about that. And so being in Florida was good for me. It was good. One of the thoughts that came to mind as I was sitting in my mother and my stepfather's kitchen in the morning hours drinking my coffee was this: Sabbath rest stabilizes gospel-grounded faith. And I believe the Lord gave that to me. Now, I'm of the conviction, I don't think Sabbath rest is a particular day of the week. I don't think it needs to be on Saturday, which would be on the Jewish calendar, or necessarily on Sunday. I don't rest on Sunday. But, for me, it should be maybe Monday. Others of you, maybe another day of the week. But just to pause and to listen to God. The other verse that God, I really believe that God impressed upon my heart just to meditate upon and to think upon, is Psalm 46, verse 10. Stop striving and know that I am God. I love the way the NASB translates this verse. Stop striving. It's not just pausing. It's just stop striving. Stop pushing against the wind. Stop striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted on the earth. And so with that backdrop, I think that sets us up for just considering what is what the shield of faith is. There are six pieces of God's armor, right? And you should know this by now. The belt of truth, right? The breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Those are six pieces. And then prayer is what brings all those together, which we'll look at, in the last week of this sermon series. But the belt of truth is our identity in Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, which covers the heart and covers the Greek word splunkna, the bowels, that's the seat of the emotions. So our heart and our emotions is the righteousness of Christ. The gospel shoes of peace is not just that Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day. The gospel is from Genesis through Revelation, all the promises of God, that he's going to make all things new. And he includes our redemption, but it includes so much more. There's a day coming when sorrow and sighing will flee away. And it's interesting that the shoes, had these spike things on their soles that the soldiers would wear so to stabilize them. So they're stabilized we're stabilized in the gospel. We stand in the gospel. Our identity is Jesus. That's the belt of truth. Our righteousness is Christ. And now we come to the fourth piece of God's armor, which is the shield of faith. And Paul wasn't just looking at the Roman soldiers and saying, what's the next metaphor? What's the next imagery I can use? Oh, look, a shield. That's a good one. No, he's drawing from the imagery of a Roman soldier, but he's also pulling from imagery from the Old Testament. And the shield that Paul had in mind was not this small circular shield that would be easy to move around, as you're doing hand-to-hand combat. The shield that he had in mind is called a scutum. It's a large shield. It's about 4 feet high and, I don't know, but maybe 3 feet wide or whatever. But it's large enough to hide behind. Here, listen to this. It's large enough to take refuge behind. And so Paul was, that's what he had in mind when he was thinking of the shield of faith. And the reason why these soldiers, and usually it was the Roman legionaries who would have these shields, these larger shields, was to protect them from the onslaught of arrows that would come from the enemy from a distance. And sometimes those arrows, the tips would be dipped in pitch and lit on fire. So think about that for a moment. And in the shield, from what I read, the shield had a layer of cowhide or some kind of leather on it, and the shield was designed to be saturated with or to be dipped in water, so that when the arrows came and hit the shield, protecting the soldier from the arrow, if they were on fire, if the fire would be extinguished. And so this is what Paul had in mind. I love the way, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God inspired Paul to pull this imagery together from the Old Testament and from what he saw around him. And so as you're thinking about that, think about what was the purpose of, there are also, fire arrows was what they were known for. What was the purpose of lighting, dipping the tip of an arrow in pitch and launching that arrow? What was the purpose? The purpose was to light anything on fire that was flammable, right? And so the target would be structures, the target would be materials, and the target would be what? Soldiers, enemy soldiers. And what does fire do? What does fire do? It burns. If you hit something flammable, it consumes and it destroys, right? And so these shields were designed, specially designed, to protect the Roman legionaries from that kind of attack. And Paul's telling us that the Christian is to take up the full armor of God, and what's included in the full armor of God is the shield of faith. And that shield of faith, I love this, the shield of faith is as such that it is our understanding of who God is, but it's our faith that is saturated by what? The Word of God. So it's not just faith like, oh, I'm just going to believe. It's a confidence, it's an understanding of the Word of God that infuses our faith, and which I'll talk more about in a little bit, but that's the shield of faith. It's not like a self-determined will. I'm just going to name it and claim it. It's not more about having more faith so that I can have, more of God. It is my understanding of who God is and taking refuge in Him. So I think some of the scripture passages that was probably on the Apostle Paul's mind when he wrote Ephesians chapter 6 was Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. God told Abraham, look, I want you to leave all that's familiar, and I'm going to show you a place that's unfamiliar. That's going to be the land of promise. You're to go there. That wigged Abraham out. That filled his heart with fear. And this is what God said to him. Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And David in Psalm 28, verse 7, celebrated the God who hears our prayers with these words. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the sound of my pleading. The Lord is my strength and my what? My shield, right? My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart triumphs, and with my song I shall thank him. And I think one of the more helpful verses, and I think was probably on the apostles' mind, is Proverbs 30. So let's read this together. Let's go to the next verse. Slide, yep. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And so the shield of faith is what we take up to protect us from the onslaught of these flaming arrows that are coming our way. But what is it? Is the shield of faith God? Is it our faith in God? I read this in a little book titled The Whole Armor of God, this quote by Ian Duggard. He said this, he said, "Faith is the means by which we flee to God for refuge. It is how we cling to God and find in him comfort and protection in times of difficulty and distress." I like that. I like that. But here's the thing. Your faith, or your shield of faith, will only be as big as your understanding of who God is. Right? And so, if you know who God is through your understanding of his word and through your reading of his word, your shield will be all the more because of that. You'll be able to take, you'll take refuge in the God that you know in the Bible. You don't need to be this super great theologian to do that. But you just need to read his word and listen to his word. Apply it to your life. You'll learn from him. Like in Daniel, one of my favorite books in the Bible, Daniel chapter 11, we read these words, "The people who know their God shall be strong and" what? "Take action." The people who know their God shall be strong and take action. And the way you cling to God and find him to be your comfort and protection is through his word. Like everything he wants you to know about himself is here. And so the more you get to know who he is, the larger your faith will become. There's a Psalm 119, verses 10 through 11. I want you to see if you can hear the tone, the same tone that you hear in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. If you can hear it, in Psalm 119, verses 10 through 11. Just listen to this. The words will be on the screen. He says, "With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments." You see, he's saturating his faith with the word of God. "I've treasured your word in my heart." Why? "So that I may not" what? "Sin against you." So the question, then the second point is another question, is how do we use the shield of faith? So this is where I hope that you're helped. Like, how do you use the shield of faith? Here's the thing that I know you're gonna make fun of me, geeking out over, as I was reading through this. And here's the thing, I hope this encourages you. I've been reading the Bible, studying the Bible, preaching through the Bible for many years now, and there are still things I'm learning. And you would have thought that maybe I would have seen everything that there's to be seen in this passage on the armor of God, but I didn't. I was looking at this and I thought, wow, I've never seen this before. I want to point it out to you because it's significant. There are six pieces of the armor of God. You know that. But here's what you may not have considered before. The first three are pieces of armor that are fixed to your person, right? So the belt of truth. You put that on, you just don't throw it down. You put it on and you keep it on. The breastplate of righteousness. The soldier would keep his breastplate on. He wouldn't take it off. He would keep it on so long as there was a threat. And then the shoes that he would wear, he would put those on. He wouldn't take those off. He would keep those on. Those three pieces of the armor are the pieces that we considered together. But here's what I want you to see this in your Bible. So if you have a Bible, you'll want to see this. You'll be able to see it regardless of what version of the Bible you have. So Paul says, let's look at this again. So verse 14, "Stand firm, therefore." Now notice his word choice, right? "Having belted your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace." You see it? And then there's a shift in verse 16. In addition to, so Paul's, there's a shift here. He's still going to talk about the full armor of God, but there's something different about these next three pieces. "In addition to all, look at the word here, taking up the shield of faith." So not having the shield of faith, but taking up the shield of faith, "and with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." And verse 17, "and take up" or "take the helmet of salvation." And the point is to take the sword of the Spirit. You know what the difference is? Unlike the breastplate, unlike the belt of righteousness, unlike the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield you can put down and you can take up again. You see? So a Roman soldier, a Roman legionary, he can leave his shield behind him as he goes on to the battle line. And as those fiery arrows come, he doesn't have to pick up the shield. He can just let those arrows pierce his body. And so Paul's saying here, take up the shield of faith. When it comes to your shield of faith, Christian, it is possible to leave your shield behind you. It is possible to not take up your shield. So the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, which will be next week, the sword of the Spirit, which will be the week after that, like you can leave those on the ground, or you could take them up. And so Paul wants us to be mindful of that. The three pieces of God's armor, the first three pieces, address our identity as followers of Jesus. The next three pieces of armor, the ones that you can take up or put down. So what are you going to do with your identity? What are you going to do with who it is that you know you to be in Christ? So take up the shield of faith. Take up the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The soldier's shield, his helmet, his sword, all were a part of his armor, but he could leave those behind. And the question that I think that we should, be forced to ask our own selves, the question you should ask yourself is, how often do I take up my shield? My shield of faith. When the enemy attacks with his flaming arrows, you can choose to take up the shield of faith, or you can allow those arrows to pierce. And if you allow them to pierce, what's going to happen is that they will overwhelm you, they will consume you, and they may even incapacitate you. Like if you are a Christian, and if you have been truly born again, this is what you need to know. The flaming arrows of the evil one cannot destroy your soul. When you are saved, you are saved. You are redeemed. Your righteousness is Christ's righteousness. Your identity is Christ. You stand in the reality and the truth of the gospel. But you can allow those flaming arrows to pierce. And you can allow them to do damage to you. You can allow them to destroy your witness as a Christian. This is why Paul says, take up the shield of faith. It's stupid to leave it on the ground. Like, that's foolish. Why would you even do that? There's going to be thousands of arrows flying your direction. You need the shield of faith. So take it up and protect yourself from it. You have everything you need to protect yourself from it. And make sure that as you take up the shield of faith, you saturate it in the water of the Word of God. Infuse your faith with the Word of God. Like, if you're a Christian, you better believe that the devil knows more about your salvation than maybe even you do. He's been at this a very long time. Yeah, I mean, you don't think he knows that you were chosen before the foundation of the world? That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Do you think he doesn't know that you were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and that's all that that is enough? You don't think he knows that? You don't think he knows that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption, that you were God's inheritance? He knows all of that. In fact, he knows it better than a lot of Christians know that. And so what he also knows is that he can deceive you. What he also knows is that he can manipulate you. And he can use his fiery darts to sideline you. He can destroy your. He can use his fiery darts to destroy your Christian witness. He can paralyze you with shame and guilt to keep you from clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ. And he will do all within his ability to do that. This is why Paul said, at the very beginning, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. But it's your responsibility, Christian, to put on the full armor of God. Remember, I said this multiple times. The schemes belong to who? the devil. The armor belongs to God. And it can't get any more practical than that. Take off the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. When the flaming arrows come, you have a shield that God has given you that you could take up and defend yourself against such attacks. He's given you all that you need through his armor. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? You know, the enemy will launch his flaming arrows. He's going to do that. But here's the thing you also need to know. There is also the danger that we face, and I think this is the more prominent danger that we face, in self-wounding ourselves through, giving into temptation, giving into our own desire to sin. The devil never makes people sin. We do that. We do that. He can just tempt. He can deceive. But at the end of the day, we're responsible for sinning. We do all of that on our own. And when we're mindful that Jesus is our identity, like the belt of truth, when we're walking in the reality that he is our righteousness and his righteousness is all that we need, and that we're standing in the reality of the gospel and we understand what the gospel is, that will firm up your ground, your stance to be able to resist on the evil day. And the evil day includes the temptation to sin. The evil day includes this battle that we have to contend with our flesh. Like, do you know how much language is used regarding the battle that we have with our own sin and our own flesh that we read in the Bible? Like, Paul uses this phrase multiple times: "Fight the good fight of the faith." It's a fight. In Hebrews, run the race, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, put to death the deeds of the flesh. It's all through the Bible. But when the enemy launches his arrows, his flaming arrows, in the forms of maybe temptation or doubt or whatever it is, you can choose to leave your shield on the ground, or you can take it up, saturated with the Word of God. When the enemy whispers that you sinned and now you're too disgusting for God to love you, taking up your shield of faith that's been saturated in the Word of God can look like this. You take up the shield of faith by saying and believing, "Do not rejoice over me, O enemy of mine." This is Micah chapter 7. "Though I fall, I will rise. Though I live in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. He will bring me out to the light, and I will look at his righteousness." That's what taking up your shield looks like. Or if those flaming arrows come in the form of, I don't think God really loves you because of what you've done. You take up the shield of faith, saturated with the Word of God, saturated with the Word of God, such as like passages and verses like Romans chapter 5. "God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You go to Romans chapter 8, what can separate us from the love of God? Can tribulation or nakedness or sword, can anything separate us from the love of God? No. Because of what Christ has done. When the arrows come in the form of, the temptation to spread gossip and to talk, you can take up your shield of faith, saturated by the Word of God, saturated with verses like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, which says, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but if there is any good word for edification according to the need of the moment, say that so that it will give grace to those who hear." When it's coming your way, you take up your shield of faith. Like if you're tempted in the gospel, keep your mouth shut. Or lust, when you're tempted towards sexual sin, when those flaming arrows come, take up your shield of faith, saturated by the Word of God, like with verses like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, "But sexual immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be mentioned among you as is proper among the saints." Or I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says that this is the will of God for your life, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And on and on and on it goes. Like, your shield will only be as big as your understanding of who God is. And the only way your understanding of God will grow is if you're listening to His Word. And that's how you saturate your shield with the water of the Word of God. It's Ephesians 5, verse 26. It's the reason, it's the method in which Jesus is purifying His bride. He is sanctifying and purifying His bride through the washing of the water of His Word. And so, think about that. I mean, it's not rocket science, right? Like, taking up your shield of faith, it's not rocket science here. It's doing war with your flesh and with the evil one or with the enemy by saturating and protecting yourself from the enemy fire by saturating your faith with the Word of God. And like, if you think about Mary and Joseph, don't you think that they like had to contend with flaming arrows? Like, think about it. Like, how many women in human history were a virgin and got pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Like, nobody except for Mary. Only one. You think that news was really easy for her to accept? Don't you think, like, we're only given so much in the Bible, but don't you think, like, when she received that news, like, that was difficult at first. Like, really? And we even, we're clued into her initial struggle with that. When Gabriel appeared to her and told her that you will be the mother of the Son of God, the Messiah, the one promised in Isaiah 53 and all other, Old Testament passages, Isaiah chapter 9, like, you're going to be the mother to them. And her question was what? How can this be? How is this possible? I'm a virgin. And so the angel explained it to her. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. God is capable of doing it. And or Joseph. Think about Joseph. When Mary came back from receiving that news and said to Joseph, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant, but the good news is it wasn't with any guy. It was a hard thing for him to believe. We know that. We're told that in the Bible. What did he do? The way that you got out of an engagement was through writing a certificate of divorce. What did he plan to do? He planned to write a certificate of divorce quietly. And so then he went to bed that night and had a dream, and the angel appeared to him and said, no, this is like what Mary told you is legit. This is really happening. And he shared, scripture with Joseph. You know what Joseph decided to do? He took up his shield of faith, saturated by the Word of God, saturated by scripture passages like Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him what? Emmanuel, God with us. And you know how Mary responded? I love this. I've never really thought as deeply about this as I did the other day. Like, when it comes to, taking up your shield of faith, Mary, in her song before Elizabeth, she responded to this news that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God. I mean, think about the complication, how that complicated her life. She lived in places where news traveled fast. Nobody was going to believe her story. There's all kinds of gossip and rumors about Mary and Joseph. And her response was a song saturated with the Word of God. It's in Luke chapter 1, verses 47 through 55. I'll just share it with you. I'll read it for you. It said, but listen to how she saturated her faith with the Word of God. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he had regard for the humble state of his bondservant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Listen to this. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is to generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. You know what she's doing, right? She's going back to redemptive history. And it's like, I've seen and I've known God to show up every time. My God is the God who can do the impossible. She saturated her shield, her faith, with the word of God. And he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has given help to his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, just as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. You know the promise to Abraham? Through your seed, all the nations are going to be blessed, Abraham. Mary was going back to that, saturating her faith with the word of God and protecting herself from the onslaught of the enemy's fiery arrows. That's what that looks like. And brothers and sisters, you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. Like you have the Word of God. And you can take the Word of God, and you, as your understanding of who God is, you can take refuge behind your shield of faith, saturated by the Word of God, and your shield will grow as large as your understanding of who God is. Amen? And so Dylan and Becca are going to come up and they're going to lead us in final song. But I just, you know, when it comes to how to use your shield of faith, how you take it up to defend yourself, I put something on the screen here, just a thought that I had, and I'll just read it for you. It said, you take up the shield of faith each time that you flee to God for refuge through the truth of his word, for the purpose of clinging to him, to find your comfort and protection in times of difficulty and distress. That is the shield of faith. Amen?
Thank you for listening to the Meadowbrook Church Podcast. For more information about our church, visit meadowbrook.org.